This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 3, Episode 12, TMNT Classic, Attack of Big Mac. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossing Gub.
Listen to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 30. Welcome back.
We're always welcoming them back.
I said welcome back. I didn't say we're back, which is what we always say. And then we comment on how we always say.
Yes.
Stay right now anyway, kind of. But.
We're back.
I thought I'd mix it up and say welcome back. So this is the first episode we're recording that is newer. Because the last.
It's been a while.
The last two episodes were recorded in June.
Yeah, it's been...
Because the one before that was recorded, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Recorded, and then lost, and then re-recorded.
Yes, that's right.
Various...
You know what's funny?
Maybe better, maybe worse, we don't even know. We lost the original.
It's gone. You know what's funny is, I think in the episode where we recorded it more recently,
yeah,
we joke around about how we don't know what we've already talked about and what we haven't talked about in later episodes.
Right.
And I think of the part where you mentioned Rocky to me. That's the next episode.
Oh, that's the next episode.
So we're referencing something that didn't happen yet in the show, but we've seen it already. So,
by this point, listeners will know what Tata to me Rocky means.
Rocky to me.
What did he say exactly?
He says Rocky to me. That's exactly what he said.
Okay.
I mean, I could be off by a letter or two there or a word or two.
But... Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'll make a clip of it on YouTube. I'll send it to you.
Just like the epic kick.
Just like the epic kick.
How do you find that? You just YouTube epic kick. What's the search?
I don't know. You find me on it. Find me on YouTube.
On the YouTubes?
I'm on the YouTubes. I don't know. If you look up epic kick in my chub, I don't know. There's probably a lot of other epic kicks on YouTube.
We're gonna find out, but just keep rolling. Keep rolling. I'm just gonna look this up as you're talking.
Okay, so this is the first episode we recorded in a while. And this might be one of my favorite episodes. Actually, the last couple episodes have been really, really good. This one, I have a personal love for just because how silly the writing and the joke writing is.
Right before he started the show, when he was saying it was his favorite episode, I started mentioning other good episodes. That's why you kind of softened that position just for a second
there.
Been a lot of good ones.
I also thought about April Fool, which I really, really liked.
I just know that one's ridiculous, and my cousin blew up that VHS tape.
Yes.
That's my memory of April Fool. That's it. I have more of a memory of that than what the actual episode is about. I don't even remember what it was about.
You teased that the whole episode.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just – I totally forgot about it until I saw the title of the episode.
Yeah. So anyway, this episode, it starts with a thunderstorm outside, as many episodes do, as the Rat King episode did as well.
Thunderstorms.
For the sake of one plot device later on. So the turtles are home and they're watching this duck character on TV called Ace Duck. It's at Ace Duck Film Festival.
It's a cool name.
Yes. Now, as a kid, I had the Ace Duck action figure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ace Duck is the character.
And
yeah.
I think he's just like thrown in this episode as a side joke.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're like, we could market that.
Well, we gotta sell them, you know. We gotta get Ace Duck. We gotta move those Ace Duck action figures. We gotta reference them somehow.
I searched him in the Turtlepedia.
Everybody had the Ace Duck action figure. One of the early figures in the series, in the general, you know, whatever series of figures or whatever you want to call it. I'm not up to the action figure lingo.
Yeah, there he is. He's got an entry in the.
He was one of the earlier figures, right?
No, it's a fictional character. He started out as an action figure, so he's only in this episode in this one shot.
Oh my god!
And now he's the toy, which is weird. Because like, I don't remember this episode. I don't think I've ever actually seen this episode.
I don't remember it at all.
Prior to the recent watching. What? Why would I buy this action figure?
Because it's cool. He's a duck.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing. Oh, well, shit. Here's a picture of him from the Archie comics.
Oh, neat. He should pop up in the IDW series. I'm going to talk to one of the editors at a Comic-Con and go, hey, you should put him in the IDW series.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers him, but everybody had the toy. Who had it? Come on.
I had the toy.
Why would I buy this? Who had it?
I think he's something a detective. I don't know.
Looks like a pilot. Well, he's a detective pilot.
I don't know. He's Ace Duck. I don't know.
Is he like Steve Canyon?
Steve Canyon? Yes. Like Steve Canyon.
Milton Kniff?
It's Milton Kniff. Not Milton. You don't know him.
I don't know him.
We call him
Milton Kniff, the man. Really old reference there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Somebody gets it somewhere. You could use the Googles or the internets to find it.
Yeah, like we referenced Steve Canyon, not his more famous creation, Terry and the Pirates.
Steve Canyon came after.
Yeah, but Terry the Pirates is way more famous than Steve Canyon.
Yeah, I guess so. But I was reading Steve Canyon a few months ago, so that's why it's more relevant.
To you.
Me. It's all old, all right?
It's all old. Anyway.
This is 10 years older. This one's known better. Okay, nobody knows what it is anyway. I guarantee you, when I said Steve Canyon, if anybody knew what Terry and the Pirates was, they would know automatically what that is.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's no way you only know one and not the other. I mean, come on.
Anyway.
Keep going.
Donnie runs in and changes the channel because April's having a press conference at the Army testing lab where they're testing out their new super laser.
I like how April is used to move plot a lot. Notice that?
Well, they point out a lot of plot moving along in this episode. I don't know if
there's a lot of fourth wall breaking in this.
So, the feed is interrupted by electrical storm.
And they're showing a tank.
And then a lightning strikes a telephone pole or something, and it destroys this counter, this base.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say it's the machine is power is the amount of power the machine needs is 1.3 gigawatts.
Back to the Future.
The reference to Back to the Future, 1.3 gigawatts.
1.3 gigawatts.
Yeah, fuck, that's a good. I watched that the other day. It's fucking great.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
Best movie. It's the best.
And the girl.
Yeah.
Side note, I've been watching Tales from the Crypt lately.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched that?
No. Maybe.
I like it a lot. And what's funny is I'm watching it for the first time because I wasn't allowed to watch it as a kid. Now I'm an adult. You know, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But there's an episode of Tales from the Crypt and the girl from Back to the Future is in the episode.
Oh, nice. What's her name?
I don't know her name. She was in Howard the Duck. She hooked up with the duck, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her big move.
There were duck nipples in.
And then that really put me off as a kid. That was weird.
Duck nipples. The duck nipples turned you off as a kid.
The play duck, whatever it is he's reading.
I think a girl shows him her like flashes him in that movie. Part of me wants to rewatch it because I like terrible movies, but part of me doesn't ever want to sit through it ever again.
I tried to watch it with my lady, and she likes bad movies, and even both of us, but especially her. I'm not watching this. It's just the duck.
Nipples. Okay. Oh, it shows up. There it is. Oh.
Now everyone's going to look it up.
Yep. Well, everyone that listens to this podcast.
Which is everyone.
Jeez. This is my new wallpaper.
Where else would you get to hear about all this kind of stuff?
What is her name?
Howard the Duck.
Leia Thompson.
Leia Thompson, that's it. You're right.
Anyway. So, the lightning strike, hitting the laser and destroying the console, for some reason opens a portal.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense, but whatever.
And a robot shows up and just starts shooting shit.
Just there.
The robot just comes through.
He just rolls in and people start shooting him. I think that's how it goes down.
Well, I think he comes in and then shoots the tank because the tank is aimed at him.
No. The way I remember this is...
Oh, yeah, he's a peaceful robot. That's right. You're right.
He just rolls in there and they start shooting at him. And then he says, Oh, yeah. People shooting at me. It must be Earth.
He lands. And then some guy goes, that creature, what is it? And then another dude in a southern accent, I have to point out, says, it's an enemy alien it's an alien enemy, shoot it.
That's what I would do.
Maybe.
That's the reasonable thing to do. I like how they criticize that, because the robot goes, oh, people are shooting at me. I must be on Earth. And I'm thinking, a big robot just came out of a portal. Do you think it's smarter to blow it up or to just take your time and see where it goes?
Whoa. I think that's the lesson of this episode.
The episode is trying to criticize the idea of blowing up the robot. And I'm arguing that that is not good advice.
It's not the worst advice.
Well, okay, it is the worst advice, because what if the robot kills you?
We have one sample. Our sample space is this one episode which the robot did not kill
us. Theory, yeah.
And in this sample space, the robot didn't. So.
Yeah, but that's, you know, you don't know that.
You want to err on the side of caution? And just...
Why not err on the side of caution? That would be my argument. Well, I guess the counter argument. What
learn for the robot?
No, I'm not playing that game.
If we killed E.T., Elliot would never have had his adventure and grown as a character.
Should have killed E.T.
Should not have killed. Okay.
You don't know what that thing could do.
Also, if you watch E.T. now, E.T.'s fucking creepy as shit.
I never watched E.T. because I thought it was creepy as shit.
E.T. is E.T.
Well, you know what's funny you say that, because I believe E.T., his puppet, was supposed to be in a horror movie.
Really?
I think the puppet was supposed to be in some kind of horror movie, and they slightly modified it so it's in a kids movie, which makes a lot of sense if that's true.
Possibly. I don't know, he is kind of creepy. His hands are really creepy.
On E.T. podcast.
So they shoot at the robot. The robot shoots back, and it cuts to the turtles, and the turtles go, I know someone who will want to get hands on that, and it cuts to the Technotrome.
Yep.
And Craig goes, I want that robot. That's the joke in the episode.
I love jokes like that.
But then there's also this great joke after that where Krang is looking at the robot through whatever – I guess it's the camera feed that April's cameraman is filming.
It's Krang's crystal ball, basically.
And it's like – it zooms in on Mac's neck.
Yeah.
And Krang goes, see that? And Shredder goes, it's called a neck. You wouldn't know what that is. Which is like the funniest. I legitimately laughed out loud at that joke.
You laughed at Krang's misfortune there.
I legitimately laughed at
Shredder. In that room, you would have high-fived Bebop and Rocksteady right there.
I would have.
They were laughing deep down. Rock soldiers, they can't laugh. They'll be in trouble. Forget it. He can say whatever he wants. Shredder's becoming the alpha again. You notice that?
Yeah, this episode, Shredder also becomes... Yeah, there's another time after this. But then...
As season three progresses, yeah. Shredder's in the driver's seat again.
So then Krang realizes the neck is its weak point. I don't know how he knows that.
It's got a neck, obviously.
He points at something on the neck and says that's his weak point.
When they zoom in on his neck, I thought, is Krang some kind of vampire now? Is that where this is going? Because that would be hilarious.
With his fangs and the cape?
Could you imagine the little brain with fangs and the Dracula cape? That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Who wouldn't want that? Anyway, that should be a special episode.
That's the Halloween costume.
That'd be great.
Like the dumbest Halloween costume. Like, what are you? I'm Krang as a vampire.
Better. Krang's robot is a vampire.
Are there any holiday episodes of this? Like,
I would imagine.
Halloween.
I don't know if there's a Halloween one, but there's definitely a Christmas one.
Yeah. We should do a Christmas special when we watch that episode.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe some special characters will show up.
Yeah.
It's never gonna happen.
Santa Turtle.
So Krang looks at his neck and goes, that's great, that's his weak point.
Yeah.
It's a great place to put his docilator, which is
this
machine he has that makes things docile.
Clearly. You know, when you docile things, they,
You can control them.
That's how they work.
To which Shredder replies, this is something you just happen to have lying around. Krang replies, we have to keep the story moving.
Yeah, writers!
Great.
Move it, baby!
So great.
What? I actually appreciated that.
I very much appreciate it. There's a couple of things like that in this episode.
We're all thinking it.
Yeah, we're all like, why does Krang have that? Oh, right.
You have to, because the show's only 3 minutes long. That's yeah. why.
So, so Shredder leaves with Beelzebub and Rocksteady. The turtles to get the robot. The turtles leave to save April. The robot is doing a cowboy voice for some reason, and he never doesn't explain.
He explains
like way later when he's back.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
I thought it was earlier.
He explains when he's back in the the turtle lair. He explains.
Listeners, we don't really remember things too well.
I took notes.
You took notes before, and you were still getting stuff wrong.
Yeah.
He just comes out shooting.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
That's okay. No one's perfect.
The turtles kind of have a fight with the robot, with Mac.
Yeah.
But not really.
And
Mikey comes up with a great idea, which is just to say, hey, peace, dude. And the turtle.
It's a freaking tree hugging episode. I don't approve of the message this.
And the turtle just high fives Mikey and he stops shooting.
Let's step back for a moment. Wouldn't everybody have been better off if they just killed the robot?
Well, then nothing. We wouldn't have a show.
I'm just trying to make a point here, because that robot does get possessed, and he does cause property damage.
We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that.
Later. I love that scene. I laughed out loud.
We'll talk about that later. There's a very interesting point about that I need to bring up.
It's a great drawing of Ace Duck there from the Archie comic. It's
really good.
He's so jacked.
He's super jacked.
And hitting that gym.
So the turtles, they find out that Mac is from 400 years in the future, and as they walk away, he just falls down a hole.
Yeah.
That view of rocks that he had just cut in the floor with chainsaws.
It was a chainsaw?
They're both holding chainsaws.
That's amazing.
So they just cut this hole, which is weird because like the turtles clearly walked over the same place as Mac because they're in front of him.
That's some Looney Tunes stuff right there.
And then Shredder puts the dust later on him, so Mac is under his control.
That's right.
But then he just fights it off immediately.
Yeah. And then Arnold appears and goes, Mac! Sorry. Oh, I like that it's called the Big Mac. Enter Big Mac. Attack of the Big Mac. He's not big. He's not big at all. They just wanted to make a reference that people thought, oh, I like McDonald's, you know.
It's probably a crossover. Is there a crossover thing going on there?
Yeah.
I have no idea. So Mac gets a dust later put on him, and he immediately fights it off, and then leaves the turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shredder goes back to the Technodrome. Mm-hmm. And Krang blames him, but Shredder goes, your machine doesn't work.
Damn right.
Which is like, Shredder's got balls now.
He's been like that the whole time now.
This whole episode, Shredder's got like sand in his vagina or something.
Right. Well, Shredder, you know, he's probably got some side Krang or something. You know,
he's got a side Krang now.
He's got his confidence back. That's a reference to episode 1 or 2 of TMNT. You could buy it, you know, it's not available for download because I don't want to, you know, pay for a membership on Automatic. So... You know, you want it, you gotta email me and I'll quote you.
So April also says she wants to interview Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And then then she interviews Mac, and like it cuts to the Technodrome and then it cuts back and they're walking out of the interview room and like that was a great interview, Mac, which is like, okay, I kind of wanted to see part of that, but whatever.
30 minutes, you know, or whatever, 22 because you got to factor in commercials.
Yeah, and then the turtles ride Mac home. On his arms.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny shot. And they're in their detective coats.
Which is they're on a fucking robot already.
Yeah. Like, no, but they're incognito.
They're incognito, but fuck the robot. No one will fucking notice the robot. Well, then they go. Then they Mac wants to go to the library, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they go to the library in their coats.
This is right out of Short Circuit.
Yes.
Where he input, he just the book. It's exactly the same.
They watch Short Circuit a second ago, like.
They watched Short Circuit day, and then they just wrote an episode which is almost exactly the same thing, just slightly different, with Ninja Turtles.
So he's
a peaceful robot. He's made for war. It's Johnny Five. It's the same thing. I believe there's even a scene in Short Circuit where Johnny Five speaks in a Western voice.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, so it's the same
thing. There's also in the second one where he joins the Latino gang.
Oh, that part's great.
That part's great. Anyway.
You know, it's a good movie, Gremlins. Let's keep going.
So they go to the library. A security guard confronts them.
Mm-hmm. Of course, this real
security guard is like the most security guard designed security guard of all time. Fat.
I've always thought to myself, if I was ever a security guard, I would lose my job so fast the moment something serious happened.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm getting paid what? Well, yeah, and you want me to stop that guy who could hurt me? Absolutely not.
here's the big secret that you don't know. They're all not going to do shit when shit actually goes down.
I mean, I think
most security guards are not going to do shit when serious shit goes down.
If you pull out, you know, a gun or something, a knife, they're not going to do. I wouldn't do anything. Absolutely not.
Most people won't, and most security guards are like fat dudes.
Well, exactly.
They're sitting on their ass all day. If you could, you could probably, me and you could both outrun most security guards. I would put money on the table right now that I could outrun most security guards in the U.S.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when I was younger, one of my brother's friends was telling me he was a security guard, and I was asking him all these questions. Well, what happens? What do you do if this happens? What do you do if X happens? And he was quite a big man. You know, he's a pretty fat guy, and I remember him saying to me, I pretty much do everything possible to avoid getting up and having to write out a report. That's
yeah.
That was his joke. Oh, I'm not going to get up. I just sit there. He said, if somebody comes to me with a problem, I'll try to shy them away from me writing a report. I could write a report.
If any security guards are listening to this, I would bet money that King Cowabunga could beat you in a race.
There's some really fast security guard out there.
I would bet money you could probably beat them in a race if they were on a Segway or in their little cart too.
I'm not that fast.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm in okay shape. I'm not out of shape, but I work out. Don't get me wrong. But
that's what I'm saying. I'm not in great shape either. But I bet I could outrun a security guard. I would bet you money I could outrun a security guard. I bet you if you put me at the back of Target, you were like you had to steal one thing and get out the front door. I bet I could do it.
I met this guy once who was an undercover security guard, and he was really into his job.
Also, side note, don't steal from Target, because their shit, they have the most intense security system ever of any company.
Do you think we have a bunch of thieves that listen to them? They're all thinking, oh, I'm going to steal from, where am I going to steal from today? Oh, not Target. Thanks, Gum.
Anyway.
Why do you know this, by the way?
Because I listened to a podcast with an ex-security guard of Target, and he was going through all the – he was, I'm past, whatever – all the shit he had signed to, keep that shit secure. It was, that's all, expired at this point. I can say whatever I want. And it was, about their intense security system and how they'll, keep up a fucking – if you steal something small from Target, they'll let you go. Or something of medium value, they'll let you go, because then you'll come back and steal more shit, once it passes a certain point, it'll become federal, and then they'll get you on federal charge, which is way worse. So if you do steal from Target, listeners, steal one small thing.
Have you been listening to the Thief Cast? All right,
just read the Thief Cast. That's what T stands for in TMNP.
Picture a bunch of guys with burglars masks.
The guys of the episode, the fake turtles that break into the pizza joint. No?
Yes, that's right.
Anyway.
Let's keep going.
Mac goes to their home the security guard confronts them. Mac shoots his belt off. Mm-hmm. He has heart-shaped boxers, of course.
Of course. And I'd like to own a pair of heart-shaped boxers.
Get the heart pattern boxers.
You can definitely buy some.
Get them. They take it back to the turtle lair. He meets Shredder and shakes his hand violently.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says,
"Splinter." Splinter.
And then
I didn't know Shredder hangs out in the turtle lair.
Well, this isn't Shredder Splinter.
Bodies that one time, which is amazing.
Either that one's Shredder Splinter and Splinter Shredder. Mm-hmm. But then Mac complains that his circuits are feeling funny.
Yeah, his circuits. I always like this, by the way.
Yeah, and then Donnie finds out that he's gonna explode and kill everybody.
Oh, turns out he's gonna blow up.
Which is, and then he leaves because he's like, "Fuck this! I don't wanna hurt my friends." And I'm not.
If they just killed him right when he appeared, that would never get to that point.
Well, spoilers, it doesn't ever get to that point.
Yeah, but you know what? There was no risk of it. Just murder him.
But then he decides to leave and run away.
He's not a person. He's a freaking machine, all right?
So Mac decides to run away. Also, what does Mac stand for again? I wrote it down and I can't remember where I put it.
Lettuce, tomato, sesame seed bun.
Mobile armored computerized combatant.
Combatant. That's what the extra C is for, so they don't get sued. Big Mac, just in case they didn't ask for permission.
So he runs away, and the Foot Clan just jump in front of him and surprise him. And then one of my favorite scenes of the episode, he's like startled by the Foot Clan, and then out of the side of the screen, Shredder comes in and just places the new Dossilator on his back and like ducks out.
That's how you do it. He just gets out of the shot.
Which I love no one does that. Like, Edgar Wright does that a lot, where like he plays with the reality of the screen. Like in that scene, like in Hot Fuzz, where those two guys leave the screen and then come back in and then leave again.
I've not seen that movie in so long, but that's totally something he would do.
He does that. He plays with like where like outside of the screen is not reality, and inside the screen is reality. So if something appears like right off screen, it's not. I love that stuff.
That's hilarious.
But so Mac is now under Shredder's control again, and we cut to April showing Burn her interview, and Burn's like, "Oh, this is great. This is a great interview. He's such a peaceful robot. That's gonna be great." And then Vernon runs in and changes the channel, and it's like Mac is blowing up the city.
Yeah, I love that shot with him holding things up.
It's like
it's pretty funny, you know.
Yeah, and then the city's just on fire. I wrote down Mac is turning New York into Detroit.
Hey! I know a guy who knows a guy.
He's blowing up the police department. He's blowing up the police station.
What?
He's blowing up the police station. Like, that shot, there's just a building that says police on it, and it's just, like, ruined.
You know what's funny is if you just type in Big Mac on YouTube, it comes up immediately in the episode, because nothing else is spelt like that.
Isn't like, autocorrect a Big Mac?
Nope.
That's weird.
Nope. Big M-A-C-C. But yeah, I love when the robot is just blowing things up.
Yeah, so the robot's, like, losing his goddamn mind and blowing everything up.
Come on, we've all been there.
And,
no, but You've done it. Let's be honest.
I've done it.
Done it. Don't lie. You know, we've all had our moment where we just go berserk and start blowing things up. Look, like he's holding that car up. It's almost like he's doing a freaking workout with that car. You know, he's lifting it over. He's bringing it down. He's working out his robo chest.
His robo lats.
Robo pecs.
Robo
lats are getting a little exercise in there. Robo traps are coming in nicely. He's got that weak neck. He needs those traps. You got to build them.
He's got a weak neck. He skipped neck day.
He doesn't work his neck. He's not about it.
It's a weak point.
Mac, you gotta work out your neck. Screw that, biceps. Mac is just a bro in the gym.
Mac's a bro. He's got super skinny legs. He just has biceps. Super skinny
legs. Never works out his legs.
He just has biceps.
You know, I'll be honest. I'm that guy. I don't work out my legs when I work out.
I don't feel like I don't need to work out my legs.
That's my argument. I stand on them.
I have pretty thick legs.
I have
G-trunk legs as it is.
Well, here's my thing.
Also, I walk up a hill every day.
Yeah, if I run or I'm doing some form of calisthenics and involve my legs, that's a workout for them. How strong do they need to be? You know? And furthermore, I don't feel there's a lot of moments where I'm thinking, man, if only my legs were stronger.
Well, do you need to leap over a fence?
No, I do not need to leap over a fence.
How high is your standing vertical leap and how necessary is it at your current place of employee?
Strengthening your upper body is beneficial in everything you do.
Everything you do.
Pretty much every, because you use your arms for everything, you know? So, I could open these things easier. I could pick this thing up. I could throw my lady across the room if I feel like it. Which I've done. Girls love that. I used to have this joke with my lady where I would try to throw her into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Every time. Oh, I'm gonna get you to hit it this time. She has this kind of cute, no, but she likes it, you know. She enjoys it. She might put up a fuss, but she likes it. She's smiling. It's kind of like when you mess with a pet and it's snarling, but it's wagging its tail the whole time because it's happy. It's the same thing.
Yes, sure.
On a different note, I like Shredder in this, you know, freaking presidential suite.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get to that. So as the robot destroying the city, Donnie learns that the Dossilator is speeding up his self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then he disappears and they don't know where he is. And it cuts to Krang. And Shredder's – and there's fun music playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And Krang's, like, talking to Shredder, and Shredder's, like, lying on a bed.
Yeah.
They're like, where are you? And it cuts – and Shredder's in his, like, condo.
Yeah.
And there's, like, fancy Manhattan condo. And it's just him, Bebop, and Rocksteady, and Mac just chilling in his condo.
Mac's just looking around. He's, like, a security robot.
There's there's a sailboat painting on the wall.
You gotta have that sailboat
painting. It's like a half second floor. It's got
you put it on Krang's Alien Express card.
Yes, you never leave the Technodrome without it.
I like when credit cards were a big thing. You know, it was a big deal to have a credit card at one time.
With that machine that was like crack crack. So Mac is gonna blow up. They chase him back to the Technodrome. Mac goes crazy at the Technodrome, shoots everything, and creates a portal. And the turtles tell him he should go in the portal. Mm-hmm. And Mac is like, no, I want to be a warrior for peace. And the turtles say, you could be a warrior for peace in your world.
You can kill people to create peace.
Right.
You kill enough
people. Here's the thing, though. Mac is about to explode.
Wait, I thought that was not going to happen.
They never say that.
I thought that was because of the oscillator.
He's going to explode because of because he traveled here in the portal, fucked up his circuits, and he's going to explode. The oscillator only sped it up. He's still going to explode and kill everyone in New York City.
Wouldn't that be great if he appears?
But they sent him in a tunnel to his own time, so he's going to kill fucking New York City. He's going to create a New York City-sized crater in whatever the fuck he is now. So they just basically doomed this future world.
I bring you peace. Boom.
That's exactly what it's going to be. It'd be like, peace, dude. Boom. Murdered fucking millions of people. Huge crater.
He's creating peace. There is peace now.
There is peace now.
It's like that creepy kind of character from Judge Dredd. Judge Death.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know about this character's idea?
Yeah, Judge Death. I know.
I'm just going to kill everybody, and then nobody can break the law. That's his plan.
Logical. That logic holds.
It holds, you know.
Logic holds. It's not how I would go about it, but logic holds.
It puts the law above why it needs to. What the point of it is?
You can't really. You could like you could argue that logic, but like, I mean,
no. The guy's a skeleton. He's not gonna argue that.
Crazy thing. I mean, it's the extreme.
But he's Judge Death, right?
Logic holds. Gotta respect that man. Respect that man's logic.
People break laws. If we kill everybody, nobody can break laws. Got it. New plan.
And that's the episode.
That's the episode. That's it. There you go. So go buy some Judge Dredd. Go get some futuristic stuff. Go get rid of money and
Sponsor us on Patreon.
That's right. We don't have a Patreon though. Whatever.
Sponsor our Kickstarter.
Our Kickstarter. You can email me at ninjapodcast@gmail.com if you want the first season episodes of the show where we talk about season one of Ninja Turtles. It's gonna cost you.
Right.
Might cost you $1, might cost you $0.25, might be $5. It really depends. It depends on my mood. Email me if you want that. And
include your credit card number and social security number.
That's right. Or if you want to pay in barter, you know.
You want to barter?
I do barter.
For services?
Services. You can give me a piece of paper that represents a certain amount of apples. I'm sure I could find somebody else who will want that. But it's not money, I promise. And, I'm about it. You know, it's fine, you know. Yeah, we're done.
We're done.
I'm Kid Kalabunga heading out.
I'll beat the Tatsumi Gov later.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.